Hi, friends. Before we start today's program, a quick note on the challenge facing us in 2021. As you probably know, the period at the beginning of each year, right after the Christmas and year-end giving rush, is always the toughest stretch for any nonprofit organization. That includes your church. While we received a year-end bump in giving, it wasn't large enough for us to coast our way into the new year by any stretch. Our radio stations, networks, and ministry partners around the world are counting on us to continue what we do so that they can do what they do. Quality Christian teaching and programs come to you because you support it. With all this happening in the world right now, Christian radio has never been more needed to bring you the truth, comfort, and challenge that we need to live a gospel-filled life in the world. I humbly ask that you not forget us as we do the work we do for you. If you've never given before, would you consider doing so today? If you have supported Compassion Radio in the past, would you consider making us a part of your regular monthly giving plan? I'll tell you how later in the broadcast. Thank you, friend. We're praying God's peace, provision, and courage over you today.
Today on Compassion Radio.
He said, the Bible, only the priest can read the Bible.
Okay.
I shouldn't read the Bible.
You get confused.
Yeah. And I told him, there are Muslim people, they became Christian. He said, no, don't believe it. To be Christian, you have to born with the blood of Christian.
Okay.
It was so...
Just confused.
Confused.
Very confused.
But when I read the Bible, I understand that Jesus is for everybody.
Right.
And he came for everybody.
And once again, welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram talks with Wolfgang and Jonette Hades, a couple who for the last 25 years has been ministering to Muslims in Turkey. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
We had the pleasure of sitting down with some friends, the Hades, Pastor Wolfgang and Jonette. The two of you are a remarkable couple in my book. You are of German and Turkish heritage. And God somehow brought the two of you together. And then he also somehow decided to deploy you in the pastoral work to help the church in Turkey survive all of the changes politically and with the surge of refugees in the past 10 years. It's been a tough time to be a Christian in Turkey. And you've been in the middle of this, in fact, in ways that have been tragic. And I want to talk a little bit about that because violence is not far from your family. We need to understand what it's like to be a Christian in Turkey, and you're going to help us with that. So thank you for joining us on Compassion Radio.
You're welcome.
I have to prepare our listeners that this is their third language they're speaking to us in. They'll be conversing with us in English, but they speak German and speak Turkish. And you said that Arabic is your original language of heart. And that's marvelous. So thank you for being brave with us and being willing to talk to us in a language that's not your first.
Yes.
First of all, tell me a little bit about how the two of you met.
Yeah, about 25 years ago, for some reasons that I cannot explain in detail now, I decided to go to Turkey in order to learn Turkish, to work together with a small organization in Germany afterwards to reach out to Turks in Germany. So while I was in Turkey for language studies for 1 year, in fact in Izmir, which is Smyrna from the Bible, mm-hmm. I met my wife. Then there was just one Turkish-speaking church in the whole big city of Izmir, which is about 2.5 million or so. Now there are more small evangelical churches, but then there was just one. And so I met my wife. We got to know each other. We fell in love. Long story, but finally we married, went to Germany, worked in Germany for a couple of years, but always had in our hearts somehow to come back to Turkey. So 6 years after we married, we went back to Turkey. So my wife had opportunity to learn some German too.
Jonette, was it the right choice? Did you agree with your husband to come back to Turkey?
Yes, when we dated, I asked him if he want to live in Turkey in the future. Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, I can think about it. I felt I am calling for Turkish people. Jesus chose me for the people in Turkey because they are like children without father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus found me and saved me. And then I was called to make Jesus known to Turks.
So you had a real passion for your fellow countrymen.
Yeah.
Jonette comes from a big Christian background family. But her parents and most of her siblings had immigrated to France and wanted her to come too. But she wanted to stay in Turkey before we met.
So you might have been torn in many directions.
Yeah, I came from a Christian background family, Greek Orthodox Christian. But when I was 18 years old, I met Jesus. Mm. Until this year, I didn't know Jesus. I went to the church with my family, but we didn't have, relationship with Jesus. So,
can I ask what it was that actually changed it for you?
You know, before I know Jesus, I don't have a place in the world. I was lost. Mm-hmm. I don't have a place in my family. We are 9 children, and in the Christian community, we don't have places because we are not rich. I am rich now in Jesus. I was without places. Mm-hmm. But when I read the Bible in John 14, Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place by my Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This word speak to me. And I was so happy. Jesus knows my problem. Mm. He looking after me to give me a place. He told me, I don't have a place in this world too. Can you give me a place in your heart? Mm. I am preparing a place by my Father. Because of this verse, I became a Christian.
So because you understood that God was preparing a place for you,
yes,
you could prepare a place for him.
Yes.
Yeah, and she said, then she decided she wants to be a place for other people.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. A safe place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting point, that there are many people, even here in America, that grow up in the church, that grow up in what we would say a Christian home, yet they don't know Jesus.
Yeah. Yes.
They haven't found that place for him in their heart and come to the point where they can see, like you saw, Jeanette, that Jesus has a place for you.
Yeah.
I think that's so beautiful how he was so personal with you.
Yes.
Because that's who he is. He is our personal Savior. And so he meets us in a place that is so vulnerable.
Yes, it is so important to know you have a place by Jesus. Nobody can steal this place.
Yes.
Yes.
The old Christian minorities in Turkey, you know, like her church and Armenian church, and so they have a long tradition in Turkey. And it's admirable how they resisted to all the persecution and so. But still, there are people who are just Christians by name. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's different from being a Christian by name in Germany, because there it may always cost something, but still it doesn't replace the need to know Jesus personally.
Mm-hmm. When you became a Christian, and really became a disciple of Christ, how many other believers were there in your area?
You know, I know only one girl. She was studying in Izmir. And she became a Christian. She is from Catholic background. And she told me in Izmir, there is a church with people from Muslim background. They became a Christian. Mm. It was, for me, interesting.
You never thought of that
before? Yeah.
Impossible.
Impossible. I thought, how? How can Muslim become a Christian?
Right.
She introduced some friend from her to me. They came to Antioch, and I was so, excited.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Yeah. And then she told me, nobody born Christian.
Nobody is born a Christian.
Is born a Christian.
Right.
We have to decide. Mm-hmm. And my father, he make life very difficult because he was against me. He said, the Bible, only the priest can read the Bible.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't read the Bible.
You get confused.
Yeah. And I told him, if there are Muslim people, they became Christian. He said, no.
Don't believe it.
Don't believe it. To be Christian, you have to born with the blood of Christian.
Blood, yeah.
Okay.
It was so...
Just confused.
Confused.
Very confused.
But when I read the Bible, I understand that Jesus is for everybody.
Right.
And he came for everybody.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
This is Sharon Nelson. The year of broadcasting is very important and emotional for us. Important because God is opening new opportunities in new places for us to be able to share the compassion of Christ to the persecuted but triumphant church around the world, and to take God's word to people who have never heard or read. And emotional because we are challenged to preserve the amazing legacy of the ministry first Wilbur Nelson and then Norm left with us. Norm left us much sooner and more suddenly than any of us anticipated, and we have earnestly endeavored to continue the path that was laid down before us. But we're facing a difficult financial season, and we don't have the warm and trustworthy voice of Norm to tell you how much we need your support. But Wilbur always said, in times of financial need, ask the Lord and tell the people. And so that's what we're doing, asking the Lord to touch hearts and telling you, we need your partnership. Not just your money, but your prayer-covered partnership giving, especially if you can join our vision team with a monthly pledge. But if you believe in our working together, we need your support however and whenever you can, and especially this month. Please, dear friends, will you help us?
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Then I moved to Izmir, because my family moved to Izmir too, and there is the church Wolfgang told about it. Mm-hmm. And I was grown in this church, in faith, in Izmir church.
Wolfgang, when you got to Turkey, how long had your soon-to-be wife been a Christian?
I should know the years better than she does.
I was 18, and when we met each other, I was 13.
30.
Yeah, 30.
12 years or so, yeah.
So your faith was mature at this point.
Yes, I mean, we all have to learn continuously. But
and what did you see in Jonette that said, this is the woman that God has for me?
I mean, that's a long story, but I saw that she really has a desire to serve Jesus in Turkey and amongst Turks. You know, many Turkish people use any opportunity to go out of Turkey, but she was not like this. It's really a gift of counseling and finding the critical issues. And talk about it now.
You know, I met some missionary in Izmir, and I looked at their relationship.
Christian families.
Yeah, and then I prayed and said, God, I will have a man, so who can minister with me, minister you with me. Mm-hmm. And I prayed, and then after a while, Wolfgang came, and God said to me, I sent it for you.
Here he is.
He doesn't
not at this
he didn't
point,
know.
Yeah.
So God had a plan you had no clue about at that time.
Yeah.
And he put you together. I won't go into all the details about the relationship or your courtship, but it is fascinating to me how God does bring people who are committed to serve him together. Yes. Because when you're on the front lines like this, you're part of a very rare community. There's not many people in the world that have said, I will step out of my culture and into another. Both of you did this to go to places you've both never been to serve him and to raise a family and to change the world another generation at a time. And you are now actively serving in pastoral ministry in Turkey. So tell me, if you don't mind, what's been happening the past few years with the Christians in Turkey? How free are they to really share the gospel? Are people coming to Christ? Is there an awakening happening in Turkey right now? What do the Christians in Turkey face when they try to live this gospel life?
First of all, I always try to show that two extreme thoughts are not correct. Some people think in Turkey, whenever somebody confesses to be a Christian, he will be killed on the spot. So you cannot be a Christian in Turkey. That's not true. There always have been Christian minorities, and there is a small Protestant or evangelical or however you want to name it movement for the last 30 years or so. And there is now a small Turkish evangelical church of maybe 6,000, 7,000 believers all over the country. Mm-hmm. additionally to the Orthodox and Catholic Christians in the country.
So less than 10,000 believers, which we would understand to be evangelical,
yes,
across the entire
out
country.
Of 82 million population in Turkey. So it's possible that people become Christian, but on the other side, it's not easy. So there are pressure for everybody, especially Muslims who become Christians. Mm-hmm. If it's not from the state, then it's from their own families, from their environment. And because Turks, for centuries, they got the impression to be a Turk and a Christian is impossible. If you are a Christian, you are Armenian or you're Greek or whatever, but Turk means to be Muslim. Mm-hmm. And so slowly, slowly, through media reports and through personal experience, people now start to see that to be a Turk is an ethnicity.
Ethnicity, yeah.
And to be a Christian is a belief. And so that goes together. And so the church is growing from maybe like 30 people from Muslim background becoming believers in, I don't know exactly, but 30 years ago to a couple of thousand. But they're going slow. So working there amongst Turks sometimes can be frustrating because some people become believers and they go back again, two steps ahead, one step back and so. But when you lean back and look on the developments, you say, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And now what is good in the last couple of years that the Turkish leadership is growing spiritually and more Turkish leaders are taking over, which is really helpful for the church.
Do they have a missional attitude, like they do want to reach their countrymen and go new places where the gospel has not been preached?
Yes, they do it. I say from us personally and from what I see, it could be even more, but they do it. And now, last couple of years, some churches started to found other churches, Turkish churches started
to plant churches
mm-hmm. in other places. But the churches are still weak. We don't have to think it's only about persecution and all these heroes in faith. Sometimes, often people fall away from Jesus for the very normal bad reasons for struggling with each other or being immoral or whatever. Yeah. But additionally, it's always a certain amount of pressure that is on every believer who is especially from Muslim background. Yeah.
It is difficult to be a Christian in Turkey because we have freedom,
legally.
Legally, mm-hmm. but the family or the neighborhood, they make so difficult.
A lot of cultural pressure.
Yes, they make the life difficult for the person who became a Christian. Mm-hmm. Christian mean they have to be prepared to lost their family, their job, mm-hmm. their friend, to be, hakaret.
And to be offended, to be cursed, or to be...
Persecuted in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Like one extreme example, what we heard it, I think, a couple of times, that the mother says to her daughter who became a Christian, you know, if you would have become a prostitute, that wouldn't be as bad as what you are doing to me. In a society where shame and honor is a very important issue, it's very hard to bear for this
They
Christian.
Are suffering, for example, under relationship. We have a woman who is a Krankenschwester.
Nurse
in hospital. They know she became a Christian. That's why they gave her a job on the Sunday, every Sunday. And all relatives, they are saying, you are going in the hell because in Quran it is written who changed his religious, they will be in the hell.
Okay.
Or
so they use fear against
fear,
them a lot.
Yes. It is so difficult, such problems, this problems for the people. And we have to be a family for them. We have to be a counselor for them. We have to give them comfort. And really, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of them, they will not continue in the faith. It's very difficult. I am trying to disciple them, and our church is small, more women than men.
Yes, so it keeps you busy.
I am very evangelistic. Mm-hmm.
So what does your day look like then? You have women that you work with, that you counsel, yes, that you comfort.
Yes.
What does that look like for you?
I am a mother with a lot of children. I have to take care about their problem. And sometimes I am really, tired.
But it's getting too much for you.
Yeah, but it is so good to see how God is working in their life, mm-hmm, in spite of their suffering, mm-hmm, their problem. But it is not easy, really. Right. In America, when a woman became a Christian, I think she cannot have this problem like Turkish women.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's very different.
We need prayer. We need prayer for the church, really.
Yeah, sometimes people from a more religious background, they have a bad conscience when they start to read the New Testament because they think, you know, in Islam, any doubt against Quran is sin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very bad sin. So even to put questions is supposed to be a sin. And we had an elder lady who came to our church, and then another lady told her what your mother think in the grave, and you know, your mother will turn around in the grave or something like this. And that affected her very much.
Yeah.
She draw back a little bit.
There is spiritual warfare, yeah. The people, when became Christian, they have bad dreams or attacked from...
Nightmares. Yeah.
Nightmares, yeah.
Yeah, nightmares. And spiritual attack from evil spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they need really to be free because a lot of people, they are involved with the occult. Mm-hmm, occult. Mm-hmm. When they became a Christian, the darkness attacked them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The darkness wants to hold on to them.
And not just a general sense of darkness, but an active spirit of darkness.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's what they call folk Islam. You know, if somebody is sick, they go to certain healers and so.
It's like a witch doctor.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Which is in a Islamic disguise, or how do you say, or whatever.
Yeah.
So they give right verses from Quran and so, but basically it brings them more under control of dead spirits than before.
Interesting to think about something as modern as Turkey and as Islamicized as Turkey would deal with so much of this kind of tribal ritualism and occultic nature.
Western intellectuals are not so far from it. You know, you find other names.
Now you're poking us.
You find other names for esoteric things.
That's true. We have different idols here.
Right. Okay, so what do you do as a body to encourage those who are under spiritual attack? You're talking about not just nightmares, but demonic oppression of sorts. So how do you counter that? What practical things do you do as a church to come up against those forces and to claim those souls and encourage them?
Yeah, usually that would be to pray for them and to pray with them together. But of course, also to encourage them to throw away things, you know, amulet. You know, amulet that they have. And so
to purge all of other things that are keeping them from completely surrendering to Christ then.
Yes, and to repent, and call Jesus to be free from everything in the past what they did,
To find Jesus as deliverer.
Yes. I think sometimes it's difficult even for Western Christians to really take seriously the scripture that says, put away those things that hinder your walk with Christ, you know, and we hold on to things so often that, this is harmless, this is just a, you know, a habit.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but I think sometimes those habits or those things that we call harmless kind of tie us to this world in ways that God does not want us to be tied to the world, to let go and release those things.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. By calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.